You're listening to Resonance 104.4 FM, London's community arts radio station. I'm Stuart Lee on One Way Single Parent Family Favourites, here till 2 o'clock. I've got two guests coming in today, John Dowie, the poet and former comedian who's written a book called Dog Man, which is out now. And then in the second hour of the show, the Iceman will be in, he melts ice. This is Guided by Voices.
Hey, glad girls, I only want to get you high.
That was Moondog, and that was called Do Your Thing, chosen by our first guest today, John Dowie. And before that, Guided by Voices with a track from their Isolation Drills album. And you could have seen them on Tuesday at Yulu if you were like me and actually went there. I'm 35 years old now, and I jumped around for 2.5 hours and then did my calves and my knees in and had to rest up the next day. Anyway, John, thanks for coming in.
My knees are fine because I go to the gym 3 times a week and bicycle everywhere.
Did you bicycle here today?
I did.
What was it like? Was it a good trip in?
It was very pleasant in the sunshine, but the wind was a bit piercing.
I like it. It's turned, the weather, hasn't it? It feels like winter now, which is good.
Well, I think it's time for that.
Hang on a minute.
Can you turn my headphones on?
Thanks. That's really professional radio, I know, but I just wanted to know that. Ah, great, okay. I just wanted to be sure we were being broadcast in some capacity. So, John, now,
I've lost interest in your own business.
In your own...
I'm obviously in a room full of amateurs and I'm going back on my bike.
All right, okay, so you've written this book, Dog Man, that's your latest thing. And you've a history of doing comedy and poetry and whatever, but this is a kid's book and it's out now.
Children, we call them.
All right.
I don't really mind being called kids, but it seems a bit disrespectful, doesn't it?
Do you think
kids,
so?
Kids. Yeah. Kids are young goats. Yes, Dog Man, it's actually, the thing that's really good about it is the illustrations by Delphine Thomas, who I don't know, who apparently lives in Canada or California.
Did you not get any to meet her?
No, I said to the BBC, who published it, well, you know, Canada isn't very far away. But they just rolled their eyes, Stuart, and laughed. Do you want me to read a bit?
Yeah, go on, read a bit of Dog Man.
Dog Man's looking after the lighthouse because his parents, who adopted him because he's from outer space, his parents have gone on holiday in New York. And he's all alone on the lighthouse, and it's a dark and stormy night. It says so in the poem. It says, the night was dark and stormy. And this is where Dogman and his friend-to-be, Emerson, first meet. Dogman heard a crunching from somewhere on the sand. He saw a figure looming, a lantern in its hand. His legs were all a-tremble. His fur stood up in shock. "Who goes there?" he shouted, and hid behind a rock. Emerson, in terror, nearly dropped his light as, peering through the darkness, he saw an eerie sight. Crouched behind a boulder, hidden in the fog, was that a doggish human? Was that a mannish dog? Though Emerson was frightened, he knew what he must do. "I'm Emerson," he shouted, then added, "Who are you?" "Dogman," answered Dogman, holding out his paw. Emerson and Dogman shook hands on the shore. Back towards the lighthouse, resolute and true, went Emerson and Dogman, lighthouse work to do.
Nice.
Yes.
And it was interrupted by real live sound.
A real live
well.
Buzz.
Yeah, as if someone were arriving at the lighthouse.
I think it was the poetry police, actually.
I think of it as
popping around.
Live radio drama.
Well, first the headphones don't work, and then the buzzer doorbell goes.
This is Community Arts Radio, John. It's volunteer staff. It's not like you with your fancy BBC book contract. With illustrations done by, I haven't even met the woman.
Yeah, well, it's a Sunday. Let's be nice to each other.
Where's the idea for Dogman come from, then, apart from being copied off Superman?
The Superman comic, yeah. Well, it's either that or his parents are killed by a robber. I'll take that necklace you're wearing, lady. Bang, bang.
Well, what's his name, the bloke that shot Batman?
Joe Chill?
Did Joe Chill hire
the guy who shot Batman? Because there's one, isn't there, where Batman puts on his dad's costume and says, "What, reopening the Wayne case?"
Oh, right.
I think there's a story that Joe Chill actually didn't kill Mr. and Mrs. Thomas Wayne. Dr. and Mrs. Thomas Wayne.
But that's not where the Dogman story comes. The Superman
mythology. I don't quite know. Originally the idea I was playing with was to do a character called Urban Avenger, and then there's a film by...
For children.
Yeah.
Right.
And then there's a film by Hulk Hogan called Suburban Commando, which is exactly the same.
And you know what?
Also, it's a Christ story, Suburban Commando.
Do you know the Australian comedian Greg Fleet?
No.
Oh, well. He's written a good book, and his dad... is in Suburban Commando.
What's he play?
I don't know. He's a very small part, and he lost track of him because he fled Australia, Greg Fleet's dad, and changed his name.
Oh, right.
And I said to him, he changed his name, weirdly, to William Lee, and his name was William Fleet. So he took the F and the T off and hoped that no one would track him down. Yeah. Anyway, Greg knew he changed his name, so I said to him, do a search on Internet Movie Database on the internet. Yeah. He found out that he'd appeared in 3 films. One of them was with James Garner about tanks, and also Suburban Commando with Hulk Hogan. Yeah. Anyway,
strange way to hide when you're on the lam.
I know. Yeah. Satan's too late. It suggests that secretly he wanted to be found.
Yeah, I think that's so. Yeah. He could have also called himself William FT. That would have been easier for him to be tracked down.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry for going off.
No, that just seemed too good. Diversion.
Yeah. But you can't call a children's book Urban Avenger.
Very difficult. It wouldn't have probably been a book, would it?
No. What would it have been?
It would have been a stage show, which is my original plan.
Right.
As Dogman was.
Yeah, I know, I remember that.
Yeah, it's a very good show.
Yeah,
good
I've show. Got a Dogman mask in my house.
I know, I gave it to you, Stuart.
Yeah. But the Superman thing, you're a lifelong comics fan.
Yeah. Well, I am alive.
Yeah.
I don't buy them anymore. But I kind of like stopped buying them in the sort of like mid-70s, I think.
They weren't very good then, were they?
That's because I'd stopped buying them. The writers and artists said, well, if he's not reading the damn things, why should we even bother anymore? Let's make Spider-Man into a girl. And my kids read them now, but they buy all the wrong ones.
Which ones do they buy? What are the wrong
X-Men.
Ones?
X-Men!
Some of X-Men's all right.
Yeah, just about.
Yeah.
You've plowed through reams and reams and reams and reams of X-Men comics. Ultimate X-Men, Scary X-Men, X-Men with socks on.
Ultimate X-Men's all right.
That's not so bad, is it?
That's not so bad. And also X-Statics, have you read that?
No, I have to get Arthur to buy X-Statics.
Yeah, well,
but won't get any DC comics because they buy the English version of all the Marvel comics. And I say, well, can't you go out and get some Green Lantern and stuff? And they say, well, no, because it's more expensive and you have to go to...
Yeah, it's still not as good though, as well. DC Comics is still there's something cheap looking about them. Well, I know you're a fan. You revel in DC Comics' errors of taste from the mid 70s. You like the Super Moby Dick of Space, don't you?
I never bought a Wonder Woman comic in my life. You've got to be a very sad person to have ever bought. Did anybody ever buy a Wonder Woman comic? Do you think?
Well, because it was
what?
Yeah.
You know somebody?
I know somebody. Yeah.
Well, it's an S&M thing, isn't it? It's targeted at... It's got... It's all bondage.
Come on, you're telling me all the S&M people in the world, the only literature they can get their hands on is Wonder Woman with her lasso.
Well, you know, before the internet, it was harder for them. They would be happy to look
at
that.
Well, it's rekindled my interest.
Anyway, are you excited by this, which I found...
I'm looking forward to your Spider-Man record.
What we've got here is a Spider-Man story single, which I found in a junk shop in Portobello. I've got two, actually. The second one...
I think you could keep one to swap.
Well, I haven't even unwrapped the Abominable Showman.
I think that's the one you ought to play, really, given the... quality of your professional DJ.
Do you reckon? All right, okay. Well, we're going to play now a Spider-Man exciting story single that I haven't even unwrapped. Here's the sound of it being unwrapped. And I doubt we'll get all through side one of this. There is. There's the plastic coming off for the first time in the 30 years since it was made. There it goes. And if anybody is bothered about this and wants to hear the second half...
Go to Portobello Market, there's hundreds of them there.
Well, or go to the Resonance 104.4 FM website and email in, and who knows, maybe, you know, during
you
the second half
Wonder
of the show...
Wonder Woman comic.
You get a free Wonder Woman comic. You might play it during the second half of the show. Anyway, that's 33, that is. Okay, this is Spider-Man, the Abominable Showman. And, we weren't planning to do this, so it's gone in... Right, okay, here we go.
Just fantastic!
Yeah! I've seen that escape act before, but never like that. No doubt about it. Merlin the Magician is the greatest since Houdini.
Here he comes back on stage.
Ladies and gentlemen, as any sophisticated Broadway audience knows, no magician can work without props or assistance of some kind. So, before I say goodnight, I'd like you to meet the trusted helpers without whose unseen support the feats of magic you have seen tonight would have been impossible. First, may I present Mope the Rope. Mope. Time to wake up, Mope. Wave hello to our friends out there. That's a good boy.
Look at that! That coil of rope! One end is rising and it's actually waving at us!
Yeah! A variation on the old Indian rope trick.
And now, old chap, fetch me my top hat off the rack there, if you don't mind. And my cape.
It's doing it! Reaching over to the rack, bringing the hat to Merlin. Now back to the rack and back to Merlin with the cape.
Thank you, old chap. No self-respecting magician should be caught without his hat and cape. Could be arrested for indecent exposure. That's all for now, Mope. You can go back to sleep. Next, may I present Cosmo the Robot. Say hello to the folks, Cosmo.
Hello to the folks, Cosmo.
That's Cosmo. He will have his little joke. But he is a very competent fellow and can move as easily as any human. Cosmo, take the table and chair off the stage, will you? Like a good fellow? Thank you. And wait for me backstage. One good thing about Cosmo, he has no mechanical parts or electronic circuits to service.
That's impossible. How can he move?
With Cosmo, what you see is what you get.
Yeah, but I don't get what I see. Why did my spider sense start tingling at the sight of Mope the Rope and Cosmo the Robot? Wow, what a superb showman!
And finally, ladies and gentlemen, meet my trusted friend and companion, flesh and blood like you and me, Rasputin the Monk!
We'll be right back.
Ah. That just disappeared. That was a group called Rondellis from Estonia, who have translated Black Sabbath songs into Latin.
And, how do we know it's not the other way around? How do we know that Black Sabbath didn't find this Latin group and nick it all?
We don't know, because maybe there was a load of plain song knocking around, and yeah. Black Sabbath translated it into Birmingham early 70s metal.
Yeah, there's Ozzy there sitting on the number 11 bus going to the Dole, down the Labour Exchange, browsing through some Latin plain song stuff, thinking this would make
good. Well, you know, I mean, that's why I put the Sabs on, playing the Wizard, because you were on with them in the early 70s.
I did two gigs with Black Sabbath on the same bill as me and them, yeah.
And this is when you're doing spoken word comedy stuff?
Yeah. Yeah.
What was that like then, opening for Black Sabbath?
They opened for me, actually, I think you'll find.
Did they? Where was this at?
Digbeth Civic Hall, 1968 or 9.
I saw some wrestling there in the early 80s.
That's more or less how I felt about the gig. Wouldn't it be nice if we had some wrestling on, we all thought. Now, Black Sabbath did a set, then I did my set with my two mates, one of whom played acoustic guitar, and the other one did poetry, and I did my set. Then I had to ask Black Sabbath to move their equipment before we started, which they did. And I was the one who went to the Black Sabbath dressing room and timidly knocked on the door. And inside, you know, there were these four guys who looked like four, only all black, you know. And look, haze of smoke, you cut through the smoke to find them, and would it be all right if you moved your gear so me and my mates can do our poetry and comedy and folk music? Yeah, it'll be all right, they said, blowing more smoke in my direction. I was very scared.
Well, it's nice to know that they were accommodating.
They were very pleasant, I thought.
Because, you know, we have this notion of them here, looking at the front of the first Black Sabbath album. They look like very sinister figures, and we know now that Ozzy's a nice man.
A sweetheart.
He did have an upside down cross around. Yeah, look at them when they were young.
Yeah, I know, but they were probably only about 19.
Yeah. How old were you?
I was 19.
Were you? Who else was in the John Dowie early 70s combo then?
There's a man called Roger Bishop, who's a folky bloke. He's gone missing. And a bloke called Michael Casey, who was the poet. Strangely enough, we were doing comedy, poetry and music, and we were Christian names were John, Roger and Michael, which is the same as the scaffold.
Right.
Do you think that's a bit eerie?
No, really. I don't believe in things like that.
Oh, yeah? No. What's synchronicity?
No. I like admiring it and commenting on it, but yeah. I don't take it as meaning anything.
So if Spider-Man suddenly appeared in that window over there, you would just turn away.
Well, I'd be amazed by that, because he's a fictional character.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Damn! I've thought I was reading autobiography all these years.
Was that out of that Birmingham Arts Lab scene, that lot?
Well, bands and folk clubs and stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
Best band in Birmingham was a group called Tin Symphony, who sort of never made it. Had two albums out on the Harvest label. And never made it. And then, you know, you go around the corner today and look in the bookshop and there's a big book about £25 for the Incredible String Band.
Yeah, I know, I saw that. It's just on
the
street.
And they're playing
the
Jazz Cafe on Thursday. See? Yeah, goes away, the 60s.
No, I went to see the Incredible String Band last year. And a lot of those people, when they reform, you go, God, that was really good. I wouldn't have expected it to be that good. But the Incredible String Band was actually absolutely awful.
Was it
one of the worst things I've ever seen?
Did they spend 25 minutes in between its number wandering listlessly from instrument to instrument?
Well, it felt
to tune them and then
like
launching
it
into yet another 25 minute song about Lord Randall or some horrible nonsense.
It felt like it.
I used to do the Incredible String Band drug free.
Right.
I used to sit there at the Birmingham Town Hall, at 10 shilling, 7 and 6, hours and hours and hours of this muck, Incredible String Band, totally drug-free.
Hours of this muck.
It was very difficult.
Actually, they were the druggiest crowd I've ever seen. Oh, I will have to go and answer that.
Buzzers again.
Or could you? Don't lock yourself out. That's the studio assistant guy who's coming
in. The ice
was
dripping to death outside.
Yeah. No, I saw them at the Bloomsbury Theatre. And there was a man in the toilet there who's on some kind of hallucinogen.
That was probably Mike Heron then.
And they have that blue light in there to stop people doing drugs. And he became fascinated by the line of his own urine into the urinal in the blue light. Which actually, if it was the choice between watching your own urine and the reformed Incredible
Now,
String
steady on there. Hey. I don't like the way you go in there.
Okay, let's have another one of
Ducks
John's
on a pond. Oh, yeah, a real true artist now, Mark Bolan.
Okay.
From his Incredible String Band period.
Tyrannosaurus Rex from the album Beard of Stars. This is First Heart.
No, it's Fist Heart. That's a misprint.
Oh, right. It says on the on the sleeve, First Heart, Mighty Dawn Dark.
I know, and I can't tell you how irritating. Hey, tell you what, though, with the incredible string band in the 60s, had an album out called I Looked Up.
Yeah.
And it was listed in the NME of the time. It's listed as I Looked It Up. Which has got sort of a different resonance, you might say.
I remember being able to make fun of the progressive rock fans at school by the fact that a record shop had misprinted the advert for Marillion's Script for a Jester's Tear, Script for a Jester's Ear.
Oh, right.
Which makes no more sense, but somehow seems to...
It's a bit more appropriate, really.
Okay, so this is Tyrannosaurus Rex, and it isn't First Heart,
it's
Mighty...
Fist Heart, Mighty Dawn Dark. And Fist Heart has nothing to do with homosexual practices.
All right, okay.
Mighty Dawn Blast, in some way I slain a yawn. Stone eyes, a dreadful wealth lies, in some way our fate is one. Funny how the day comes, funny how the day comes, funny how the day comes, never. Funny how the day comes, funny how the day comes, funny how the day comes, never. Pierced heart, mighty to dawn guard, at a glance our dance is won. Sun leash, by your straw trees, could you please heart cleanse passion? Funny how the day comes, funny how the day comes, funny how the day comes, never. Funny how the day comes, funny how the day comes, funny how the day comes, never. Somewhere in the darkest night, a candle glows. I believe for everyone who goes astray, someone will come to show the way. I believe, my belief. I believe above a storm, the smallest prayer. I believe that someone in the grave somewhere hears every word. Every time I hear a newborn baby cry, or touch a leaf, or see the sky, then I know why. Leaving in a wheel.
That was John Cooper Clark. What's that track called? 36 Hours. And before that, we heard Roy Everett and the Climbers doing
and
I
we
Believe.
Wish we hadn't, and we
wish
we
hadn't. Yeah, well, you know, we've got on this album here a compilation of mid-60s Birmingham bands. It's called Brumbeat. It's on the Dial label. It's worth a hell of a lot of money, actually.
Is it?
Yeah.
Why?
Due to its rarity and due to the fact that, despite the efforts of Michael McGrath, who wrote the sleeve notes to this, to give the impression that there was a Birmingham mid-60s scene as vibrant as that of Liverpool.
Yeah.
There clearly wasn't.
No way.
As we heard
no,
there.
Just one gig in the whole of Birmingham, wasn't there?
No, there was loads. There was...
Was there?
Well,
was
you know...
Aston, there's one in Aston.
Well, you know, you can hear from the sleeve notes. I mean, he managed to make the idea of a Brumbeat scene work. He had to stretch the geography to include the Black Cat Club in Redditch, the Navigation in Coventry.
And Liverpool.
And Liverpool. And
Manchester.
You know, the casino club in Warsaw, and this paragraph at the end. Dancers at the Winter Gardens Droitwich clearly miss their ex-resident group Carl Denning and the Cimmerans, who complete side two with Pretend. Their irrepressible on-stage humour stayed with them when writing their biographies, for under Ambitions, one of them stated it was to date our bass player. And that was from Droitwich, that humour, which is not even in Birmingham,
Droitwich,
it's near
humour
Worcester.
Is quite famous in the Black Country area, isn't it?
Yeah, anyway, and so we John picked that. Roy Everett and the Climbers.
Well, I thought it was a great name for a band, the Climbers.
Roy Everett and the Climbers, but, you know, as it turned out, it wasn't very good, was it?
It's awful, awful.
Absolutely awful. I mean, you know, you think, I mean, that looks brilliant. The sleeve of it is black with Brumbeat, white writing, the Dial logo in purple. Along the back, a picture of all the Brumbeat groups lined up in the park.
All of them should be shot in that order. That's a firing squad pose.
It is a firing squad
what
pose.
What you want now is a big machine gun just to go all the way down the line, kill them all one by one.
Which just goes to show, not everything rare is also precious. And after that we heard John Cooper Clark. Oh, you've got a gig with on Thursday.
I've got a gig with John Cooper Clark on Thursday, Crouch End, King's Head, again.
Crouch End, King's Head in London. It's nice that downstairs there. Who else is on, you and him and anyone else?
Mike Kelly and somebody I don't know.
You know, you and John Cooper Clark would be enough, you know, on its own, wouldn't it?
I don't think you need me, actually.
No.
Just Cooper Clark is enough, really.
Yeah.
I mean, he does about 27 hours. He does more than Ken Dodd.
Does he? He famously won't go.
He won't leave Ken Dodd.
Is he all right now, John Cooper Clark?
He seems to be extremely well, yeah. Yeah, very well.
He's always
on good form, you know. Yeah. Good gigs, he does good gigs.
What else are you up to at the moment? What other bits of work? Are you? Is there a promotional round for Dogman?
This is the promotional round. In fact, I am now promoting Dogman.
Right.
And that's when I've done this. Now that's all I need to do.
I've been told
after this show, it's sorted.
Yeah, I got a
press release.
Well, I did. I got a press release, which was I wasn't expecting that. I thought it was great.
It's not often in the world of children's literature that a heroin addict writes verse. But BBC Worldwide are proud to announce a first.
It doesn't say that.
No, what a shame.
It says it's ideal for young readers and features a poem by John Dowie brought to life by beautiful illustrations. That's factually accurate, isn't it?
Yeah.
Great
Christmas present, only a tenner, and it'll fill up the stocking or the pillowcase wonderfully.
Well, I don't know whether to keep mine.
Oh, you must keep yours,
or give it to a child.
No, well, you could give it to your inner child, Stuart. You could have a little ceremony on Christmas Eve.
I don't like him. He's badly behaved. He won't appreciate it.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of truth in what you're saying.
He'll only draw on it.
A lot of truth in what you're
scribble on it.
No. Well, that isn't necessarily a bad thing.
Right.
Expressing yourself.
When you went from being... when you went from the cynical world of 80s stand-up...
Yeah, to...
Which you created.
Yeah.
Into...
on my own, the Frankenstein effect. I was looking for more of an Incredible String Revival type thing, only with humour. Well, hey, these four ducks walk into a pond, right? That kind of thing I was going for. And it just mutated into this commercial enterprise.
Well, you went via the Philip Dick one-man
Philip
show.
Philip K. Dick
one-man show that you did, and the show called Why I Gave Up Stand-Up Comedy.
No, it's called Why I Stopped Being a Stand-Up Comedian.
All right, Why I Stopped Being a Stand-Up Comedian. Which,
I'm such a pendant.
It's self-explanatory, that title. Into writing a lot of stuff for children. Why was that necessary to write things for children?
Well, nobody else is doing it very much from the comedy world. Have you noticed? People like Mr. Elton has children and doesn't write for them.
Right.
I have children. It seemed to be appropriate that you would write them for them. Of course, they didn't like it. In fact, one of them left home as a consequence. Only nine. That old red spotted handkerchief came in handy, I can tell you. I used to leave it on the wall draped across a stick.
Well, you go and sit around with a little cardboard sign saying, my father has written a children's book.
My father's a wannabe poet. Please give generously to me.
You must be very pleased with that, though.
I'm very happy. Well, you see, Dogman is a character that I'm very fond of, and it was a big shame for me when the stage show was not transferring to the West End or anything like that, Stuart.
All right.
No bitterness there. Just a hint. And so it was a nice thing that the book's come out and the character is back on the road.
Do you feel you have a relationship with Dogman?
Yeah, yeah. Tell you an interesting thing, J.K. Rowling always talks about Harry Potter as if he was a real person.
Yeah.
And she says she was on a train from going from Edinburgh to King's Cross when the idea came to her. So I rang her up and said, what time was the train? What platform did it leave from? Which carriage were you sitting in? Which direction were you facing? I hope to repeat the experience.
Well, in case it was a magic train.
Of course it was a magic train. What else could it have been?
Well, maybe she just had the idea as a result of it milling around in her head for a long time.
She also said it was the only time in her life that she didn't have a notepad and pen with her.
Right.
So I've never had a notepad and pen since.
So is it written from memory of ideas, Dogman?
Yeah.
You talk about Dogman in the third person then, in the same way as she does, as if he was... Yeah. Yeah. He's not alive, though, is he?
Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah. Why else would you have a mask? It was great when we did the show in Edinburgh, because we used to sell these Dogman masks to innocent children. They used to go and put on their little Dogman masks and play in the courtyard outside the Pleasance Theatre in Edinburgh and sing all these... And I was sitting there... in the courtyard, having a beer, I used to drink in those days, and watching these kids, and I was there, and I finally achieved it. I finally had a secret identity.
Yeah.
Nobody knew the real dog man was sitting in the courtyard. I think the little beard used to...
Yeah, it must have been strange being surrounded by lots of small people with masks on of something you've made up.
Well, that's enough of my Friday night experiences. Back to the Wonder Woman thing. Small people with masks on, yeah, it's the best in the world, best in the world.
I'm going to play another bit of music now, because that was going too well. Do you remember this club, Barbarella's, in Birmingham?
Oh, yeah, many times. I played Barbarella's and I had a band.
Oh, yeah.
John Darien and the Big Girls Blouse.
What was it like, Barbarella's? Because Duran always went on about it.
Absolute horrible hellhole.
Was it?
It was vile. It was absolutely vile. And the only good thing I ever saw there was John Otway.
Right.
Who stormed. And when the Sex Pistols, I saw the Sex Pistols in Barbarella's on a Saturday night, before they were famous, before the Bill Grundy interview, the Sex Pistols played Barbarella's on a Saturday night. All these brummies with their vile trousers and moustaches. Enough of the women. You should have seen the men.
Yeah. But, he's still got it.
Oh, yeah. Flex that comedy muscle.
Yeah.
The Sex Pistols came on. There's like, you get about 1,500 people in Barbarella's on a Saturday night. After the opening Sex Pistols number, there was 500. And by the end of the set, there's about 20 of us down the front row having a great time.
TV's Frank Skinner maintains he was at that gig as well.
Perhaps he was. He would have been about 9.
Well, it depends. No, it's because his age keeps going down.
Does it?
Yeah.
So does he.
Yeah.
Hey, where is he? Whoa, hold those horses. But the band finished the set and went off, and we were just too stunned to even know what to do at the end of the Sex Pistols set. And then Johnny Rotten came back and said, if you clap your hands and shout more, we'll do an encore. So we obeyed our orders, and they came back and did Anarchy in the UK.
Did you ever see The Prefix?
No.
No, well, The Prefix was supposedly the Birmingham punk band.
What year would that have been?
Well, this is from 1979. They went on to be the Nightingales, who were great and were always playing around.
Yeah, that rings a bell. But I'd got left Birmingham by then.
You'd left by then. Did you not, get copies of the Evening Mail sent to you in London?
There's a band called The Prefix on, must pop back.
Well, look, this is from a John Peel session by The Prefix, and it's called Barbarella's.
Thank you. This is an appeal on behalf of Resonance 104.4 FM. Do you like the idea of becoming a patron of the arts? If so, then donate money to Resonance FM, London's only radio art station. Imagine a world without Resonance FM. Could you go back to the playlists and cold corporate sheen of commercial radio? Think about it. You can make donations by PayPal, direct bank transfer, or a cheque through the post. For more details, visit resonancefm.com or ring 0207 836 3664.
That was a jingle for Resonance 104.4 FM, which you're listening to, and I haven't been a very good host today because I've forgotten to say you're listening to Resonance 104.4 FM a lot. Although I've noticed whenever anyone on this station does that, they do so in a slightly self-conscious way, as if they feel that's just a bit too like proper radio. Anyway, at 2 o'clock later on today, there's Calling All Pensioners, the pensioners' rights activist program that runs from that runs from 2 till 3, and it's presented by Harry Howard and Tim, some bloke Tim something. Because of the layout of this sheet, his name never comes out, and it always looks Harry Howard and Tim. And I like to imagine what Tim might be each week: a dog, a bird, a ventriloquist puppet. We don't
speaking
know.
Clock.
A speaking clock. Yeah, Tim, speaking clock. At 3 o'clock, London Wireless Soundscapes. Tom Wallace's live open aural window on London Soundscapes, brought to you through Wilfie WIFI Technology. I don't know what that is. That sounds exciting. We've not got that French chanson program on anymore. I used to like that. And at 6 o'clock, Sound Poets Exposed, Clive Graham. With a mishmash of different archive recordings at 8 o'clock, Jonathan Bowman of the Bowman Brothers, who are in Morphogenesis and do all sorts of amazing music concrete. He's on for 2 hours doing a show about side projects of family members. And anyway, before that we heard the Golden Horde, who were from Dublin, and I played that because I remembered it having a spoken word bit by the American writer Robert Anton Wilson on it. I think it came right at the end, and I played that because I know that John Dowie, our guest here, is a bit of a fan of Robert Anton Wilson, but the record was so dreary that I haven't listened to it for 15 years, and I've forgotten that it was that bad. So I'm sorry for wasting kind of 3 minutes of airtime.
Unlike what you're doing now.
Unlike what I'm doing now, and then not. We didn't even get to the bit where Robert Anton Wilson speaks. So sorry about that. But you were. I've got another live album of Robert Anton Wilson here, which you were actually in the audience for.
I think I might have been. Yeah, I did go and see him once or twice, doing performance readings things. Very disappointing in a way. Stick to the page, Robert.
He wasn't a good a reader.
Well, he had a big crowd, and it made him very nervous, and he couldn't hold the microphone successfully and talk into it. He kept making expansive gestures, and then the microphone would come back. But he was, you know, a good writer.
Mm.
Good man.
And
Philip K. Dick fan also.
Yeah, well, a Philip K. Dick fan, and you're a Philip K. Dick fan. Have you got you did your one man show about?
Did a one man show on Philip K. Dick, yeah, called Take Them to the Garden.
Do you think he's a dangerous writer to read?
Why? In what way could he be dangerous?
Well, because I feel when I read him, I feel a bit disconnected from reality afterwards, and sometimes.
Well, is it reality you're disconnected
well,
from?
Well, AC,
or
you're
are
already
you being more real. Is reality?
No, you're already. You know. That's exactly my problem.
Ah.
Is I can't even decide that afterwards. I feel like giving all my stuff away and, you know, just going and walking around or cycling everywhere. That's what's that. Do you think he's been a good influence or a bad influence on you, Philip Dick?
Good influence. Yeah, good influence. He said a very good thing about writing once, which is true of all form of writing, whether you write science fiction or poetry or whatever. He said when you're a science fiction writer, one of the things you have to learn to be able to do is to construct a universe that doesn't fall apart in a couple of days.
Is that what you've done with Dogman?
No.
Right.
It falls apart in a couple of minutes. Well, in a sense, it's any form of writing is we're entering into the pretentious hour.
No, come on, we're allowed.
Is to make something that is totally believable, isn't it? So whatever it is, I mean, it has to have a resonance. I used the word twice in this one day.
104.4 FM.
You know that makes sense. That holds together. And especially if you're doing a kids' show, because one of the things that children always ask is the question, why?
Yeah.
And if they ask the question, why, when you're doing something, then you're doing something wrong, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But do they ask why about Dogman?
They may have done in the early stages of the show, but we continually worked on it to get it so that they instead of saying why, they would just watch.
But your own children don't hold up the book and go, why?
They look at me and say why very often. And then they look at themselves and say, why me?
I can hear a rustling on the stair. I think it might be...
can't be Iceman. It might be Paperboy.
It might be the Iceman trying to get in. So we'll play a track and I'll go and see if I can get him up the
stairs. No, you stay where you are.
No, what is this? Off Warren Zevon, the other one. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yep. It's the man with a suitcase.
Yeah, the final song.
Hi. Oh, we'll just hear this then. The last John chose this, the last track of Warren Zevon's new album. It's called Keep Me in Your
Warren's
Heart.
Warren Zevon's last album.
Well, yeah,
he's dead now.
He's dead now.
Yeah. This is his last work.
Shadows are falling and I'm running out of breath. Keep me in your heart for a while. If I leave you, it doesn't mean I love you any less. Keep me in your heart for a while. When you get up in the morning and you see that crazy sun, keep me in your heart for a while. There's a train leaving nightly called when all is said and done. Keep me in your heart for a while. Sha-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Keep me in your heart for a while. Sha-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Keep me in your heart for a while. When you're doing simple things around the house, maybe you'll think of me and smile. You know I'm tied to you like the buttons on your blouse. Keep me in your heart for a while. Hold me in your thoughts. Take me to your dreams. Touch me as I fall in. Headed north to Pleasant Street. Keep me in your heart for a while. These wheels keep turning, but they're running out of steam. Keep me in your heart for a while. Sha-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Keep me in your heart for a while. Sha-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Keep me in your heart for a while.
That was the late Warren Zevon, Keep Me In Your Heart, chosen by John Dowie. He's been our guest for the first hour. Thank you very much.
What a pleasure it's been.
But you're going to stay now.
I'm going to stay and watch the Iceman.
We're joined by the Iceman. Come in on the mic a bit, Iceman. Where have you come from this morning to join us?
I came from a planet sort of northeast of Venus.
By train?
No.
They don't run on a Sunday from Venus, we all know that.
Have you got a receipt for your trip so I can invoice you?
Yes.
I can pay you back for
yes,
whatever.
Yes, they've disguised it as a British Rail.
All right, great.
Disguised it.
Yeah. Now, and you're going to be melting some ice for us over the next hour.
Yes, I'd like to say thank you to Eskimo Ice, and Harvey particularly, who's my new apprentice. Hello, Harvey. He's out on the road delivering ice at this moment.
How much ice do you get through in a week normally?
Well, it depends how, if I get more than an annual booking.
Oh, right. So it's slacked off since the high points.
Yes, I tend it to be more reflective now as I'm getting more older. I'm sort of recording it more. I'm photographing the transformation of each individual block.
Oh.
And I think you bought one of my books, actually.
I did. We'll talk about the website later if anyone's interested in seeing documents of the act of ice melting.
Yes, I'm afraid it's out of action due to financial problems.
Oh, well, is there any way that listeners can contact you if they need photographs of melting ice?
I could give you my pager number.
Okay, well, we'll give that out. Anyway, you want to start setting up?
And, yes.
I thought we'd play ice-related music while
right,
and then keep coming back to you.
Thank you.
During that.
So I'll erect my platform, my system.
Sure.
Yep.
And while the ice-melting system is erected, we're going to listen to a track from Hex Induction Hour by The Fall, which was recorded in Iceland, this album, and this track is called Iceland.
A plate steel object was fired, and I did not feel for my compatriots. Hated even the core of myself. Not a matter of ill health. It was fear of weakness deep in core of myself. The fact attainment was out of. Thank you.
Never in the field of human history have so many owed so much to so few. Thanks. More of the same, less of the other. Simon Munry's experimental half hour. 3:30 p.m. Mondays. School's out. Pass it on.
That was a jingle there for Simon Munnery's experimental half hour, which lasts for an hour and is on at 3:30 tomorrow afternoon. You're listening to Resonance 104.4 FM. I've been joined today by John Dowie, who's been talking about his Dog Man book that's out now. And the Iceman is here now, and he's you're setting up the ice melting platform now.
Yes, yeah, so I've got the plastic duck in the bucket. I've got the bamboo sticks up, and I'm just about to put the actual platform on top where the ice goes on. Sort of a dustbin lid with a hole in it.
How many years have you been melting ice in this fashion for?
As long as I can remember, really.
Right. So you've got this down to a fine art, the bamboo pole duck in the bucket system.
Well, as you can see, I'm struggling a bit even to get the system up. But the great thing is, it's all about plucking success out of failure.
Mm-hmm.
Out of the, so as we all know, ice will melt eventually anyway.
Yes.
So in a sense, I'm successful before I've even come in.
Yeah.
I mean, yes.
Yeah, you're on to a winner.
Exactly. Thank you for putting it like that.
But I mean, when I first saw your act, there was it was a different climate. Literally, the world climate was different, and you kind of thought there was. It seemed ice wouldn't inevitably melt, but now even ice, the ice polar ice shelf, whatever we know, they're all falling away. Do you feel like it's taken on more profound significance in the light of global warming? What you do?
Yes, I think people see me more and more as a prophet. And I noticed with audiences recently, they started chanting spontaneously, deep, deep.
Right.
As if they're picking up on it. But the more I try and read into it, you know, I could go on forever about duality, night and day, etc., etc. I like to keep it very simple. It's just in the circumstances I personally find myself in this particular universe, it seems the most useful activity I can pursue.
Well, is it because it's changing? It's causing change to happen. You're having an effect on something.
Yes, it's a feeling I've always got company. I mean, you might say it's inanimate, but is it?
What, the ice?
Exactly. So in a way, you know, it started as a way of making friends.
Right.
Yes, so I like to share them. I mean, on a bad year, as it were, I have to do a lot of solitary blocks in nature. But I quite like human company sometimes, like now.
Right. Good. Well, we'll let you carry on setting up, and we'll hear another bit of ice-based music. Inevitably, there was going to be something from Bjork from Ice. Oh no, it's not her. This is the 1960s group Thor's Hammer, who were from Iceland. They were known as Moina in their native tongue. We're gonna hear a. They were called the Icelandic Beatles in their day, and they were from Keflavik, not Reykjavik, like you might have thought. They're from Keflavik, which is a very different sound. This is called My Life.
Bye.
I'm coming out of that early because we're now the Iceman's now trying to get four bamboo poles to support a bin lid with a kind of funnel in it, and there you can hear one of the poles falling over there. And I wish we probably should have started. I'm worried that we're not going to get as far as the ice melting part because the balancing the bin lid on the bamboo poles bit is
preparation is everything.
Preparation is everything.
Right.
Actually, there's a nice sort of scraping sound of bamboo against metal there that is not unlike a lot of the music actually put out by Jonathan Bowman, who will be here with us at 8 o'clock as part of Instant Music Radio meeting. The bamboo poles have fallen and the bin lid's dropped now.
I might give up on the bamboo and just put the dustbin lid straight in the bucket.
Put the dustbin lid straight over the bucket.
Yeah.
Well, don't feel that you have to deliver a particularly high showbiz level, because remember, this is going out on the radio. People can't see this.
Just check with
the
dustbin.
In fact, if you'd said, you know, I'm going to do it with the bamboo poles and then hadn't, no one would have known anyway.
No.
But you would have known.
Exactly.
Is the duck all right?
Yeah, I just checked with my assistant. He's in dry dock at the moment. Yes, thank you. The idea is that, obviously, as the ice melts, the duck starts swimming, bobbing about.
Yeah.
And it's a happy, happy duck. But it hasn't happened yet. Also, he's probably not very happy with the dustbin lid so close to him. He feels a bit claustrophobic, maybe.
If you put the dustbin lid on top of the bucket, you won't be able to see whether the duck's floating.
It's got a hole in it.
Oh, you can look through the hole. Yeah. Okay.
Schrodinger's duck.
Pardon?
It's called Schrodinger's duck.
Schrodinger's duck, yeah.
I think we're going for that option. I'll just check if it's all right. Yes, he's found that in the circumstances. Yep.
Actually, can you touch the duck? Touch the duck against the bin so we can hear that. There we are. That's the sound of a plastic duck falling into a bin lid with a hole in it. For anyone that's not convinced that this is actually happening live. It's kind of like it's sort of like the David Blaine stunt in miniature, isn't it?
Yes, I think he's taking a leaf out of my book actually, because I went and saw him, the great man, at Tower Bridge myself.
Yeah.
And my first instinct when I went across the bridge was ice block, because as you know, it's a transparent box. So good luck to him. I think we're on the same sort of repetitive level.
If he had been sealed in a huge block of ice, that would be more exciting, wouldn't it?
Yes, he did do that once.
But not for 44 days.
No, that's true. Yes.
Anyway, we'll come back with a little bit more Icelandic music. I'm going to here's a track. We'll hear something. I'm going to pick something at random off we got something on the go there? Yeah. All right, okay. Yeah. This is from a jazz album that Bjork made in between the Sugar Cubes and going solo, and this is the title track of Gling Glow.
Skýjum hlá, líst upp gamla götu slóð, þar glæðleg lína stóð. Kling gló, klukkan sló, máninn ofar skýjum hlá, leit á lás er var á leið, til línu hans er beið. Unnendum er máninn kær, þau kæra ljóma slá, lás á byðins buxum var, brá frá línu fær hans var. Skýjum hlá, lási var svo hýr á bráð, því lína sagði já. Sem var brátt frá línu fær hans far. brow, till nasser i jau.
That was Björk Gudmundsdóttir and Trio Gudmar Ingólfssonar from Iceland doing the title track of Gling Glow. You're listening to Resonance 104.4 FM on One Way Single Parent Family Favourites. I'm Stuart Lee and I'm joined today by John Dowie and the Iceman. And the Iceman is melting a block of ice for us live on the radio. John, you've got a clearer view than me. Can you say what you can see? What's happening now over there? You've got a clearer view.
Well, there's two blocks of ice in a tin thing on top of a bucket, and he's taken an instamatic photograph of it with something strapped to his head, Stuart.
It's de-icer that's strapped to his head.
De-icers?
Yeah, I think so. Holt's de-icer.
That's what it is, exactly that, yes.
Do you want to spray me?
Do I want to spray you?
Yes.
With what? With that? Of course, sir. I am now moving into the spraying area.
Thanks. It's quite spray in the right direction.
Well, how do I know what that is?
Well, you look at the top of the de-icer and you'll be able to see where the spray
is.
I'm aiming for the ice.
The Iceman's leaning forward over the ice.
Do you want to buy a signed copy of the...
In a tin lid. And John... Oh, it's gone the wrong way.
Oh, God!
The wrong way.
In my eyes.
The squirt, the de-icer.
The Iceman, I thought you were going.
Yes. Oh, my eyes. I only have eyes for...
So do you want me to do this again?
No, it's all right. Thank you very much.
There was nearly a de-icer accident there.
What do you want me to do now?
I was acting, actually. Just do it again, please.
Do it again?
If you want.
In the eye?
No, in the eyes.
As a first-timer, I must say, I'm doing quite well with it.
And John Dowie now is spraying de-icer on the ice.
Dogman and Iceman.
Yeah.
I've got a frame for it, if you want to buy this picture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great, one song.
£5 to the frame.
Okay, and a frame.
Yes.
I'll buy that on behalf of the program. It's gone out for five. I'll buy it for five on behalf of the program. I'm buying the Polaroid photo.
Your frame costs £5.
All right, ten then. Right. Ten on behalf of the program. We'll put it up in
you're
the studio.
For his Polaroid, and you're going to give my book away.
Just two blocks.
No, I don't want to create.
Spray now because oxygen. Yes, thanks a lot.
God.
Can
you open the window?
Yep. I'm going to open the window.
Yeah, we're getting de-icer poisoning in here now.
It's snowing.
Okay, I'm going to put some other, we'll put some more Icelandic music on while we deal with the aerosol problem in here. This is from the Icelandic Black Sabbath. This group were called Ice Cross, and this is called A Sad Man's Story.
I lost my love yesterday. She made up her mind and went away. Left me with pain in my heart. No, she will never come back to me. So lonely. My eyes cannot see, full of tears. Strange kind of sound is in my ears. I should have known long ago. Lately her mind has been far away. Sitting in an empty room under the window, looking at the colors of the autumn. For a time the leaves were colored figments were fooling my eyes. Too many tongues fell in lies. I'm
That was Ice Cross from Iceland in the 70s, and that's on the Dodo label, which reissues Out of Print Records to raise money for a DNA project to resurrect the Dodo. And that's true, and that's from Ice Cross's only album, which is called Ice Cross, and it's not very good. Anyway, here we are on Resonance 104.4 FM, and with the Iceman who's melting ice. We just had to go into some music there because the studio got kind of smogged up with de-icer vapour, and people kind of spluttering and choking. And now, what stage are you at now, Iceman, with the ice melting?
I'm just holding a raffle if anybody would like to win the ice in a raffle.
To win the ice?
Yes.
What do we get to do?
You get the block to keep.
Well, yeah, but it'll melt though, won't it?
Take it home.
Well, and put it in a fridge.
Right.
And keep it.
Five a ticket.
Oh, we'll take one on behalf of the. I'll take one on behalf of the studio.
Okay, thanks.
On behalf of the whole. We can't.
This is five.
We can't.
You still got to pay for the picture.
I know. Yeah. Thanks. I know.
Any more?
This is an expensive guest.
17 is the winning number.
Is it? Oh, it's an expensive guest for volunteer staff, non-paid
I'll just
put
radio. Some salt on. Okay. So it won't be so big for you.
You're putting some salt on the ice.
Yeah, that's sorted out.
Okay. There's lots of salt going on the ice now.
I can't use my blowtorch, I guess.
I think it might be quite dangerous to use the blowtorch because.
Especially in the present atmosphere.
Well, yeah, with all this
chemicals
in the air. Okay. You know. But you've got a blowtorch helmet. Actually, that salt is having a much more of a profound effect on the ice than the de-icer did. Yes. Since you put the salt on, the ice is really just. It's really melting away on this side.
It's going very well. So
I mean, that is about a 12. It's about 12 inches long and about 6 inches square. The two blocks of ice there.
Yeah.
Cameron, we'll ignore that.
I don't usually do two blocks at once. It's a bit schizophrenic.
What are you doing with the dictaphone there?
I'm keeping notes about how it's going. I do written notes and dictaphone notes.
Right.
This is to build up my artwork. What I'm doing is I'm building up. I'm going into publishing. You were kind enough to buy a book.
I bought one of the ice books, yeah.
Yes, I've sold two, £20.
Okay.
That includes...
You sold two?
Yes.
Who bought the other one then, if it wasn't me?
A guy called Steve Dinsdale, a writer.
Right.
So two distinguished artists purchased. So I care about the quality of my customers. But I'm doing now like art posters of all the blocks I've ever done. So in a way, it's taking off.
Right.
So the work in between the actual blocks is, you know, the important work now.
The work of promoting the notion of melting.
Well, I wouldn't say promotion, because that's got connotations. You know, I think it's the recording, really, documenting for future generations and previous generations.
So that they can see what it was like when ice melted.
Yes.
What will you do next after the salt to this to try and accelerate the melting?
I've got a hammer and a chisel.
A hammer and a chisel, right.
And I think that's going to be a bit more radical. Red icicle.
Should we go to some other music first, or is that...
Yes.
Are you going to... Because that'll probably sound quite good for the listeners at home.
Do you want my own music?
Yeah, all right.
I can't realise you love me.
Did
you do cassettes, or is it too old-fashioned?
Yeah. We'll... Okay.
Very good.
What's this one? I don't even know. I've lost track. Oh, yeah, this is Kukla. They were called the Icelandic Crass. They're a
professional
80s anarchist band from Iceland, and this is called The Assassin.
We'll be right back.
And that was Cuckler and the Assassin. And you listen to Resonance 104.4 FM, where we're joined by the Iceman. John Dowie, you've got a better view of me than the ice melting experiment. What's happening now?
Nothing, very much. He's wearing the Iceman is wearing two hats and a pair of sunglasses. And he's banging away at the ice with something, Stuart. Something with blue. Something blue in your hand there. Oh, it's a kind of scraper type thing. There's a red scraping type thing.
It's a kind of chisel.
Chisely type tool effect thing.
Yeah.
Some rummaging going. And here's the hammer. And the ice is now being attacked. Ah, the Iceman is a blockbuster. I think this is not actually melting by definition. This is breaking. Ice breaking.
Well, presumably. I would argue that he's breaking it down into smaller fragments which have a larger surface area and they're going to melt quicker.
I'll accept your argument.
See how the duck is.
Yep, they were looking in underneath at the duck.
He's floating.
The duck's floating. Yes. Enough ice has melted into the bucket through the hole in the bin to make the plastic duck float.
I'm being a bit too effective.
It's floating. Sitting on the bottom.
It's John Dowie is a sceptic, and he thinks that the duck isn't floating. It's just sitting on the bottom of the...
It's just sitting on the bottom. It's not scepticism.
It's one way of finding out.
It's reality.
He's got the bottom of his webbed foot is on the bottom.
It's a yellow plastic duck. It doesn't have feet, and they're not webbed anyway.
Yes.
Is the duck floating or sitting on shattered ice?
Sitting on shattered ice, moving slowly towards floating.
I think it won't be long. It won't be long.
Well, we've got half an hour of airtime left to see if the plastic duck does
fly.
If only I could use the blowtorch.
You can't use the blowtorch, especially having filled this room with
the explosive system.
No, not with when we've got de-icer vapor in here. Something will go.
Disarm the ice because
it'll go.
I try and shoot it sometimes, and unfortunately, it's taken from my ice mule.
The blowtorch is here, but I don't think we can sanction its use indoors.
No, I can understand that.
It reminds me, I once did a live show with Faust, and they said that they wouldn't use their angle grinder, but they did, and some people got sparks in their eyes, and, you know, we can't have that happening here.
No.
Not when everyone's working here for nothing. There's no insurance policies.
He's not working here for nothing. He's earned £10 already.
He's earned five.
£15 in his pocket.
And there's people out there I expect would be gone.
And ice is free ice.
Yes.
Have you heard of Angle Grinder Man?
Yeah, no.
Oh, yeah. Well, he goes around angle grinding parked cars that have got those jungle blue things on them.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he puts on the superhero costume to do it in.
Yeah, you can phone him, can't you? He's got a website.
Oh, he'll come round, Angle Grinding Man. A bit of ice on the carpet.
Thanks, mate. And the other ones. Thank you.
And that's John Dowie, author of Dogman, throwing some ice into
a
bin lid.
Well,
he's a sceptic. He's very helpful.
He's a cooperative sceptic.
Yeah.
I think he takes his will. He's gradually getting engaged.
I think he's caught up in the drama of your struggle against ice.
I think so.
What's that Shelley poem?
Shelley?
Yes, the world will end in fire and ice.
Yes,
Oh, fireman, is he coming round? That'd be a good conflict. How do you get on with steam people? Do you have problems with them?
With what?
People who work with steam.
Steam? Oh, we do it the other way round.
Hmm.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to withdraw the human element altogether. I have one piece which is called fridge, and I just leave the fridge on the automatic timer.
Right.
Does that answer your question?
So no. What? So it'll...
But I don't actually care, so.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
So it'll shut itself off?
Yes, on a time system. So it melts and then refreezes, mirroring, everything.
But what aerosol is this coming out
this
now?
This is snow.
Right.
To make it feel not too daunted.
Okay.
I use it for shaving as well. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. Sorry,
it really reflects the X-Men conversation we had earlier, doesn't it?
Mm.
Money, what would you? Bribery.
You're going to bribe some ice with money?
Yeah, that's when you come in again. Yeah, you're the most generous, really. Generice?
I can't afford any more now. And I feel like it's an elaborate con trip that's happened. And I've just gone for it.
What happened to my music? I can't realise.
It's here, it's going out. Just you can't hear it.
Oh, right.
It's 11 on there now. Yeah.
Can I have that one if you want?
We're being handed some other ice music. We'll put this on after this next track. After this next track. Here's a bit more of Icelandic Bjork. This is the anchor song.
It's my
That's Bjork, the anchor song. You're listening to Resonance 104.4 FM. And we're in the studio with the Iceman, who's melting ice. Now, earlier on, we had two big blocks of ice. And now there is one block of ice still about 12 inches by 6. The other block of ice shattered into pieces and is... That's helped accelerate the melting. What are you doing now, Iceman?
I'm just choosing the winning ticket for the raffle. It's 21.
Oh, we've only got 16.
Oh, well, that's hard luck.
What would we have won?
The ice.
Oh, the ice to take home.
I've got quite an interesting quote here. Artist.
Read it into that mic, yeah.
I have to read it later. I'll put some money on because I need my magnifying glass. There's some money.
And that's the Iceman throwing money onto the ice.
Yeah, just see if that has any effect. It might have a physical effect as well as a sort of abstract effect. Yes. Yes. An artist is someone who produces things that people don't need to have, but that he or she thinks is a good idea for them to have. Interesting.
And how do you fit into that?
I think people do need to have it.
What, ice?
The experience. The
concept. Experience of seeing it melt.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm trying to be sensible because I don't want to be thought of as a, you know, a nutter.
How's the duck going on? Is that floating yet? And John Dan is going to check the floating of the duck.
I can't believe you can dispute this.
Yes, the duck is floating.
The duck is now floating.
It's wet duck.
So enough ice duck has melted through the bin lid to float the duck.
Yes, I'm slightly worried because it's proving rather successful, this.
It's freezing cold in here, by the way.
Well, I've got to have the window, because there's all
the windows are open, the doors are open, the place is full of ice vapours and...
Yeah, I know, but that's because there was way too...
And no one's getting paid.
There was way too much...
I wish you hadn't written that Dogman book now.
There was way too much de-icer vapour in the air, and I breathed a load in, and I just read on the back of the pack, it says, do not inhale, and I've inhaled quite a lot of it.
What a blow for West End Theatre if you keel over today.
I know, especially how did he die? He inhaled de-icer vapour in a small room.
While listening to Bjork.
What are you looking for now, Iceman?
A feather.
Of course.
Yes. Why?
Well, because sometimes it's just a joke I have with the duck. That when I pretend to shoot the poor thing, and I say, what a downer. You know, it's a sort of...
A pun.
Is that the word? Yes.
Yeah, on down.
But I think it's quite interesting that I've been disarmed. I very much like what happens accidentally in my life in between blocks to affect the block. So I can honestly say every block I've melted has a unique personality,
right.
Has had a unique personality. That's why I record them. You know, superficially, if you look at one of my art posters, you say, oh, what's the point of having a picture of the same thing? But if you look at them, they're all different.
Each of the pictures of ice is different?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's reflecting the actual block that was different.
And what do you feel has happened to you recently that's affecting the way that you're melting the ice today?
I've been very much victimised recently in every area of my life. Domesticised, professional. I've even been bitten by fleas. And then I had the iceman bill broken into on Friday. So this is a sort of therapeutic, really. I'm dealing with my own sense of victimisation. But I'm not paranoid.
But you're not taking it out on the ice. You don't see the. You don't, it's not like an attack on the ice, is it?
No, it's very much communing with it.
Is the icemobile specially adapted to enable the transition of ice around the country?
If only. I've been saving up for years for a sort of little ice cream van.
Why don't you work in wood?
Well, I wouldn't quite say the same, you know.
What?
I like wood, though. Wood.
Yeah. It's the one.
What would you want? Also... Burn it?
Well, I don't know, really. Let it rot.
Let it rot.
Yeah.
It'd be warmer in here if you worked in wood.
It's less black and white somehow, wood. You know what I mean? It's less black and white.
Yeah. That's how ice is just all white, isn't it?
Yes. Until it melts.
And then it's transparent.
I thought alternative comedy had put a stop to this kind of work.
It's nice, a silent moment where we're all together with the
audience. Well, it's nice that I think, you know, for many, many radio programmes would go, oh, dead air, that's a bit frightening. But I know that the listener at home is going, I guess they were just looking at the ice at that point.
Frozen to death. Unable to speak.
I can't shut the window because I'm having lungs
of the Scott expedition in oral terms.
We're checking their fridges.
Let's hear a bit of music and then we'll come back for a final look at the ice. This is from Richard Young's new album.
Flow of change. might take a while. Bear with me, please. From Beeston. To Long Eaton. From Nottingham to Long Eaton. From Harpenden to Egham.
That was Richard Young's before that, from his album this year, Heirs of the Year. That was called Life on the Stream. And then after that, you just heard a little snatch, again, of Richard Young's from a 10-inch record that he's seen fit to put out, of him in 1990 reading out information on 171 used train tickets in front of a live audience. He's got a vast different catalogue of styles, Young's, from... avant folk to train ticket reading out. And in a not dissimilar vein, here at Resonance 104.4 FM, we're looking at the Iceman melting some ice with a candle now. He's moved into applying heat to the ice, which is a more traditional method of melting it. What kind of candle are you using there, Iceman?
It's a one-wick candle. And I'd like to say, when everyone tells you you are an ass, thank God and pray.
And you got a mirror there with you? Is that to focus the magnifying glass?
Yes, to enlighten, help enlighten it. Yes, and also, if there is any light, to magnify. I mean, usually with the sun. But I think the duck is, yeah, definitely swimming now, happy.
Yeah, definitely. I can see it from where I'm sitting. I can see its yellow head bobbing around.
So give it time. It would be right at the brim of that bucket.
We haven't got time. We've got 12 minutes. And,
yeah, but we can imagine.
We can imagine what would have happened if it had entirely melted.
There's a dripping noise too now.
There is. I wonder if
I'm going to... good for radio.
I'm going to try and pick that up.
You're getting more positive, yes.
Yeah. I'm going to try and put the mic in between the
shall
water.
I swirl the bucket?
Can you lift the... Thanks, John. John Dowie's lifting up.
My fingers stick to this metal lid because of the cold.
We're all going to get injured. He's going to stay here. Hurt his back.
This mic's now going. I'm going to put the mic in above the duck in the bucket so you get some sense of the ambience.
Sorry. Quack, quack.
That's the duck floating in the melted ice. And you can hear that ice. That's that's water in two different forms there. You can hear the liquid sloshing around, but you can also hear the solid frozen water banging around. And that's... in many ways, I suppose he's stubbing out the candle now on the ice. What method will you normally, what method will you use next, having used fire? What would you do now?
Well, the big thing really is to explode it at the end, and that always works.
What do you explode it with?
Explosives.
Right, we're not going to do that in here, though.
No,
we can't.
No. But I think this is going to be a very gradual melt. I might distribute them around central London because I've got some more in the freezer.
Well, you'll leave these on street corners around here?
Yeah, with the price ticket on them.
Right.
Yeah.
So people have...
Why don't you invite some of your listeners to come into the centre of London and see if they can spot the actual ice?
Well, that's a good...
the prize.
The ice will be...
raffle tickets, yes.
That's a good idea. I'll tell you what, we'll leave some of the ice in the sort of Denmark Street, Shaftesbury Avenue area.
With a postcard attached. Post it back to Resonance Radio.
We'll leave it with... Yeah, that's a good... With one of the Iceman's cards attached to it.
Free.
And if you find the melted ice, or if you find some ice, or a puddle of water,
send a John Thorne
with a ticket in it, then send it into Resonance 1FM, Stuart Lee,
for a her,
and we'll send you some kind of ice-based thing.
Alternatively, they can buy a block by contacting you, me through you, maybe.
Yeah, but are you going to have jobs sending them a block when they've...
You could deliver it personally.
They could get their own.
You want my order, son.
It's a signed copy.
Yeah, a signed copy of a piece of ice. Anyway, that offer's out there for anyone that's excited by that possibility
six,
of that.
Six to find.
We're going to hear another piece of music now, and we'll come back and see how much ice we've melted before the end of the show. This is Eva Bitova from the Czech Republic. It's the title track of an album that came out a while ago, Ne Nehelej. But she's doing a gig in London at the Astoria, weirdly, I think on the 14th of October, supporting some Czech pop star. But if you can get along, she's really great. Here's this, anyway. Oh,
Se schovávám, nevím kam, ni já, ani sen, světlo, ani tma, má, ani tvá, ni bílá, ani čern, potom ani hned, tady, ani teď, ani tma, ani den, tady, ani tam, nemám, ani má. Tady ani tam sama, ani sama, ni bílá, ani černý, dobrá, ani zlá, ty a ani já.
Sorry, I'm just eating a piece of chocolate. That was trying to take the taste of de-icer out of my mouth. Quick, someone else speak. John, say what's happening.
Stuart Lee's about to die, ladies and gentlemen. He's dying of...
Choose any block.
Poisonous fumes.
Pack of cards.
Anyway, we've only got 3.5 minutes left. So let's sum up what... how do you feel this afternoon's mounting session has gone, Iceman?
I've enjoyed it. I get the impression the ice enjoyed it.
Well, quite a lot of it has gone. I mean, if you'd said to me, how much ice did you think someone could melt in an hour, I wouldn't have thought it would melt that quickly.
No, absolutely. And as you can see, I've got a lot of previous blocks here.
Yeah, photos of previous blocks, yes. Yeah. Is there any way people can contact you if they want to know more about your work? Because you did have a website, didn't you, for a bit?
Yes, closed, financial. As I said, just a pager number.
What is your pager number?
I don't know,
Right, okay, so...
contact you. You can be
well,
my
contact. Yeah. Okay, contact me, yes. And if you want to know more about the ice,
associated with somebody important.
Email me and I'll pass on your comment. Well, what's this number on here then?
That was repossessed.
Okay, so is that where I saw
There's
you?
No
early?
Future in ice, is there really? That's what
I remember coming out of a party really early in the morning in Finsbury Park.
Absolutely.
I came out of a party really early morning in Finsbury Park once, and I saw you putting some ice in a fridge.
Talk about synchronicity.
Yeah. Well, you rented a small room in Finsbury Park that had fridges in it.
Absolutely. Well, I made a sort of igloo within a room, but I was going to a big theatre that day, whatever royal thing in Drury Lane. Yeah.
Oh right, to do ice melting there. Yeah.
Do some big blocks.
Yeah. Okay, well, thanks for coming in for that. I'll give you a final look at what I can see here. Is
check the duck.
The duck's...
Yes.
Really?
He's...
The duck is lying on its side.
Sleeping.
Okay, the duck floated for a bit, then it fell over in the orange bucket.
It's a dead duck.
I think it chose to lie on its side.
John Dowie's righted it. It's bobbing away
the dog
now.
Dog man type thing.
You've woken him up.
The duck.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we've...
It's in the hotel room in Southampton, that one.
Here in the studio, we've seen ice melt, and you've heard it melt at home. John Dowie came in and talked about Dog Man,
published by BBC Worldwide, $9.99.
Ooh. Have you enjoyed coming in today, John?
I enjoyed the first half of the show, Stuart.
Did you become angry in the second half?
I felt the anger building somewhat, yeah.
Your ice has made him angry, Iceman.
That's interesting, yes.
Is that a first?
This is probably... No, I've had a
Do you have a relationship with anybody in the world?
I've had a lot of anger. I get two extremes, really. I get love
People
and
blow
anger.
Hot and cold in
Just
your work.
Just water
hard.
And ice, love and hate, you know?
Yeah.
Very interesting.
I'm surprised you get both.
It's interesting, yes. But often people appreciate it in retrospect, so...
In Reykjavik?
Retrospect, and Reykjavik, yes. Give it 24 hours and you might sort of undergo a sea change, ice change. Ice age.
Well, I won't forget it.
Oh, thanks.
It's been unforgettable.
Yes, I think that's almost a tribute.
And let's just, in the closing 30 seconds of the show, let's just ask you... The listener at home or out there on the web, or maybe you're abroad or not even in London, listen to this in a faraway land. We're sitting in a room upstairs in Denmark Street in London's West End, looking at two rocks of ice slowly melting into a bucket. And if nothing else, what's happened here this afternoon is that the Iceman has come in and affected change on an object. He's made an object partially change its form, and if you take one thing away from that, what you've heard today, take that away. And someone else who wants to see change in the world is Harry Howard and Tim. Join us next time. Here they are with Calling All Pensioners.